Loveline.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, we welcome back to the show, although...
Back to Loveline.
Yeah, the fabulous Eddie Griffin.
Oh, thank you.
Good
Adam,
to see you, Eddie.
Dr. Drew. Yeah, good to see you again.
Eddie's here, of course, to promote Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo. And I've been seeing the commercials. And I was just thinking, first off, the studio is behind this movie 1,000% because I've seen billboards, bus stop stuff, and a commercial like every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know what the budget was for the film, but the advertising campaign has got to be at least twice that.
Yeah, I think it's, the advertising campaign is way more than the film cost.
And Eddie is in every commercial, which technically means he's on TV more than Geraldo. I don't even know if Geraldo's on TV anymore. But the point is, I start thinking about it's like, well, movie guys aren't on TV. But then the reality is they're on TV at more stations at more times. And if you add it all up, they're puss. And by the way, you don't have to sit there and blow hard for an hour. Just a nice picture of your puss for about 10 seconds and then move on.
I think that's why every TV star is trying to become a movie star.
Yeah.
Because you don't see movie stars, Tom Cruise and them, trying to get a television series on CBS.
No. And also, I think it's... stop me if I'm wrong, but when you did Malcolm and Eddie, that was a job, right? I mean, you have to show up
every
day.
Yeah, it was a job.
It's not a project. It's a job.
It's a job.
Yeah.
And it's a job that I hate it.
Yeah.
With a passion.
Yes.
You understand? Because we had 12 Caucasian writers for two African-American young men. I was trying to figure out how they was going to relate to me.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, perfect. Then you have to pull a rabbit out of your anus.
Yeah, out of your anus.
Come take day on Friday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing
that was on
UPN.
Legs. It was wonderful.
No, I know, but you guys got like 5 seasons out of it, didn't you?
Yes, yes. We were on Underpaid Negroes, yes, UPN. Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I didn't know that,
but the movies you go, you work for 3 months, and you're done. You're released.
Yes. Yes.
Except for the 2-week marketing.
A promotion, yeah.
Nightmare. Yes, which the grind continues with
right
this
now.
Show. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. We apologize.
No, don't worry.
It's all right. You'll be up at 5 in the morning on somebody else's show.
Exactly. Try to make it painless for you. But you're all over the place doing this. And in this show, oh, man, bunch of stuff to talk to. First off, Dr. Drew was reading your resume, and I sort of remember talking about this stuff with Eddie when he did our TV show a number of years back. Choreographer for a soccer team.
The Kansas City Comets. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
And used to choreograph pregame shows. It's like the hype before the soccer game started.
Okay. Right.
And indoor soccer was like brand new
right.
to the city. So they were trying to get anything. And I happened to be the juggler of the time.
You choreographed the chicks or the dudes?
I choreographed chicks and dudes.
The dance act.
Wow.
And we... just basically bombard the whole soccer arena with as many dancers I could put together and choreographed the whole shebang.
But how'd you get that gig?
Were you
a choreographer?
No, I had been dancing.
How dare you? What are you talking
about? I was a big fish in a small pond. You know, Kansas City, Missouri is a small marketplace, and it was Channel 41, I believe, the station was there. And I had done a couple of appearances on a late-night talk show.
Mm-hmm.
As a dancer. Yeah, well, my dance troupe called the Soul Patrol. And we had won every contest in town.
It was Drew's dance troupe in high school. Wait a minute.
You had the Soul Patrol, too?
Yes.
I'm suing.
Yeah. You ripped me off.
Yeah, he's 40 years older than you. I think you may have ripped him off. Yeah, he'd hung up his capizios by the time you formed Soul Patrol
like
UK or whatever you have to call it now.
So that's how that went down.
Trucking in. This is my
Bet
Soul Patrol.
Bet you wonder where we've been.
That's Here We Come a Truck.
And that lasted for about 3 shows.
Because we're funky so, on our feet.
Now, did the thing get canceled? Did they stop the indoor soccer league? Or
let me put it like this. When I brought enough break dancers to break up the entire arena, you know, they relieved me of my duties.
I see. Yeah. You know. Yeah, because here's the deal. I don't know. Like, I know Kansas City has a nice African-American population, but I imagine they weren't all at the soccer game.
No.
A lot of whiteys over there.
Yes. Yeah, it was a plethora of the Caucasians.
Here we got Mexicans. Yeah, they can't get blacks into soccer.
Mexicans.
Too slow. Everyone's too slow.
Well, I mean, unless it's like outdoor soccer and you're in the Pele and this new kid they just got over here, you know, I called, you know, reverse child molestation, you know.
Yeah.
They're not actually going up in him, but, you know, economically, they grabbed that 12-year-old from Africa and gave him $100 million and said, would you please introduce America to the largest sport on earth?
Right. Yeah. You know. I know. Everyone always points that out to me when I explain I don't care about soccer. They explain how big it is. But it's like when they talk about one of these bands from South America, and it's like, these guys play blimp hangers and soccer stadiums, and they are the biggest. And I'm like, I haven't heard of them, and I don't care.
Right.
Because that's the beauty about being American.
Yes, no matter you don't have a worldview.
Right. You're no matter what the rest of the world tries to explain to you about how popular music is or sport is or dance is or anything is, you just go F off.
No matter how the United Nations try to explain to you, there are no weapons of mass destruction. I'm going to go look.
We're going in. We'll look for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
the point.
Ain't found a slingshot yet.
Independence, baby. Yes. That's why they call it.
You know,
it
we're
that.
Going to give them democracy because they didn't ask for it.
That's right. That's why we have Independence Day and they have Bastille Day, which may mean independence in French. I don't know what they did. They stormed the Bastille.
Come on, we love the French. They gave us the Statue of Liberty. If we hate them, let's dig her up and ship her back. More French kissing. Keep your tongue in your mouth. No more croissants.
Yeah. I've even lobbied to have the French door that Eddie probably has at home called the Freedom Door.
Ooh,
oh, French doors, Freedom doors.
I was on Capitol Hill.
Well, Eddie don't have no French doors at his house, number one. Eddie has Zulu doors.
There should be no more French frying.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, when they tried that, the Freedom Fries. Oh, God. Ooh, is the retarded child.
Always late.
Drink. How childish can you get?
You're right.
Going to call it the Freedom Fries.
So,
Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow, everyone. So, now, did you sit down and work on the script?
No.
No, they just handed
you the script. I had nothing to do with the script. You know, the sequel's like 5 years later.
Right.
So when Rob, I met him at this restaurant here in town that I won't mention because I don't go there no more.
Right.
But
the Ivy. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, it was actually on Sunset. Maribel's. Okay, I said it.
I was going with Rob's stuff. But
anyway, so we're sitting there, cha-ching. So we're sitting there, and they give me the script. This script was actually better than the first one. So, you know, I signed right up.
No need to make any modifications. But I imagine you'd have fun with your character and change a few things
around.
No,
I really, you know, I got to give props to the writers that put it together, Rob and his team over there at Happy Madison. You know, it was all on the page.
Really?
All I had to do was deliver the attitude behind the words.
Yeah. That's good. Even when it was all on the page, usually guys take a little credit for modifying or fiddling with the dialogue. Well, that's good of you.
Yeah.
God damn, that is beautiful. It's refreshing is what it is, Drew.
We'll hear the real story from Rob tomorrow.
So you guys, Rob's coming in tomorrow. You guys filmed for 3 months in Amsterdam?
Yeah, it was really 2 weeks to get acclimated to, you know, it's my first time to Europe. Never been there.
Oh, really?
So it was just getting acclimated to Europe and the whole culture thing and smelling and tasting it. And
was 3 months too much? I mean, were you ready to come home?
Well, after 3 weeks of coffee shops and red light district, you know, you're pretty much burnt out. And, you know, even a kid don't want to stay at Disneyland for a week.
Right. Yeah, you can't eat cotton candy for a week. Yeah, and we replace cotton candy with Quaaludes, and that's
what
we're talking about, and weed.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you'd partake in the weed when you're here stateside a time or two.
I haven't smoked weed in 7 years, to be honest.
7 years. But what about in Amsterdam? Nothing there?
Well, you know, I partook in the festivities over there. Because, you know, you're in a new spot. You're like, okay, let me try this. And you go in a coffee shop. There's no coffee. But there's like a candy store. They had this glass. And there's like, you know, Hawaiian red hair, purple haze, hydro, da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay.
Do they grow it all there or do they bring it in?
Legally, they can grow five plants
Five pot plants.
If you're, you know, a Dutch citizen, you can grow five plants.
Right.
You grow anything more than that.
Irrational.
Right.
Yeah. If you grow anything more than that, you're going to jail.
Wow. And last time we were talking to Eddie, I think he just had a heart attack or
yes,
something.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And you're all right? No problems?
No problems. You know, that's why I smoke weed in Amsterdam for medicinal purposes.
Sure. And do you get checked? Like, Drew, if you're a 28-year-old guy or a 30-year-old guy who has a heart attack, don't they have to check you twice a year?
Well, it depends. Circumstances of the heart attack.
Well, it was every 3 months. Well, my center artery was clogged. They said it was,
At 28?
At 28.
Do you have a stent or what'd you have?
Well, my father passed away at age 45 from a heart attack.
You smoke cigarettes?
Yes, I still smoke.
Oof.
Yes, I'm hard-headed.
Oof.
What does that do, Drew? What does the smoking
that
do?
That guarantees you a progression.
As Dr. Gold told me, acetocyanide, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And as I told him, I mastered eternal flesh on the bones.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Dr. Gold, Jewish doctor over at Cedars-Sinai?
He's the best out here.
So when was the last time you had an angiogram?
My last angiogram was about 3 months ago. And I go every 3 months to do the treadmill test, you know.
So they keep
He always tells me the same thing. You got the body of an 18-year-old, you feel better. Because after having one heart attack, which happened on the set of Malguinetti, we were doing this salsa number.
Wow.
And we happen to have the only Latino sister out here in California that can't salsa. So take 17, I'm sweating like a beast.
Right.
You know, and not knowing I'm having a heart attack because I never had one before.
Right.
You know, and I got 28, the little tinges in the left cheek and then it shoots down the arm. And next thing you know, I'm trying to catch a breath. And then the paramedic showed up and I get the little nitroglycerin peel underneath the tongue to open the chest cavity up.
They rushed you right in and opened you up.
Opened me up, yeah. They knew what was happening.
No,
I said it opens.
Made him feel
so
like
I could breathe.
Nitro, yeah. Yeah, also.
So you had stents put in?
Yeah, I have a stent, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's a stent, Drew?
Did they shove something down that clogged artery and open it back up?
Are you
on cholesterol meds now?
No.
Never took them. You're supposed to be.
Never took them.
But you're supposed to.
I'm not into drugs.
But you're supposed to.
Pharmaceutical companies. No, I'm not supposed to be.
But the doctor.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But he went to college for 12 years and read a book. Yeah. What if the dude that wrote the book was a little insane?
Yeah.
Companies just want some of my money?
He went to college for 18 years, and during that time, he saw thousands of people with what you have.
Thousands of them dying every day, but Eddie's still here.
I like Eddie's attitude. So let's enjoy it while it lasts. But here's the thing, Eddie.
It's not the length of life, it's the quality.
Are you a religious man?
Yes, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual.
But you think you're going to heaven?
Heaven? No, I don't think I'm going to heaven. Heaven and hell is right here on earth. You can create your own heaven and you can create your own hell.
Amen.
It's what you want to do.
Amen, brother. But here's
and that's why they say amen, because it wasn't a God, it was a man that wrote that.
Ooh,
so
watch the S word there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Did I say feces?
Yes, you did. Now, but here's
dung?
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm curious about, because you're almost cavalier about your health. It's as if you look the Grim Reaper in the face and knee him in the groin. And I like that.
I smack him on a daily basis.
I respect that. But what I'm wondering is when eventually you pass away, and try not to do it during the show.
No, it's not happening.
What do you think happens?
Here's what I think. Basic science, energy is never dissipated, it's only transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So if your spirit is pure energy that animates this clay body we call the human body.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Drew, you getting this, by the way?
Electrical system.
Go ahead.
So obviously your energy, because your nerve endings carry what? Electricity, electrical current that is created by the human mind. It makes your heart go dun 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 dun.
Right.
And make your muscles and my mouth move as we're talking.
Right.
So if this is true, I am energy. Energy is not dissipated, it's transferred. This old car I'm driving in becomes an old car. Like you get an old car and it gets old.
Yeah.
You hock it in for a new one.
That's what I'm telling my wife.
I think that's why a baby cries at birth. It's an old soul saying, damn, I got to go through this again.
So you think you just go into a new womb?
Yes.
You get into a new car?
Yes, indeedy, with no memory of the last trip.
Ah,
otherwise, life would become boring. Imagine living forever.
Especially if you're a chick.
No, imagine living forever.
Yeah, that would suck.
Come on now.
Yeah, but I like to
because the same game is done over and over
with
different technology, but the same
reincarnation,
game.
Basically, what we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, you know, of all the goofball theories out there, I can sort of get behind that one.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't believe everyone was nobility in their past lives.
This is that's what cracks me up. Everybody that says that, you know, they reincarnate, they were like, I was Cleopatra, I was Napoleon.
Right.
Nobody was the slave with the brick building the pyramid.
Yeah, which I know.
Well, actually, most people died in their first 5 years of life.
Yeah.
How come they weren't that?
How come they weren't just
throughout
kids?
Human history, most people die either in childbirth or as children.
Right. So there you go.
What were you in your past life? I was three and a horse stepped on me.
Yeah, three, I died of chickenpox.
Yeah. that
was it.
It was the Black Plague.
Yeah.
But that's never what people were.
No, I
never.
Was nobility. No. I was a sage.
Yeah, but some people go,
man.
Oh yeah, I was a, you know, a soldier in the cavalry. But yeah. Never a 3-year-old that died of chickenpox or measles.
No, and it's two things you never were.
But
I think
that's why so many people come back with a childish attitude.
Yeah, that's a good point. Did you get
freedom fries?
But why did you put the stent in if you weren't going to protect it?
Because my mother is sitting over there crying.
She
imagine
made you
seeing
do it.
Your mother that I
she
died. So to make her comfortable,
you put the stent in.
I did the stent.
Got it.
He did the stent, and the stent again is just auguring out the artery.
It actually, it's a mesh that snaps open,
uh-huh.
Pushes all the cholesterol back into the.
It's like,
and then it's got drug in it. It's got medication.
Really?
Think of it.
It's like an umbrella that you open.
It's an umbrella. It's in a druggy looting stent. It's
and
a
it
release,
stays in.
And it stays in.
Awesome.
Man, imagine fiber optics, and they go in through your main artery and your
leg,
your thigh.
Yeah.
And they snake their way up to that artery there, mm-hmm. And that umbrella opens up, and the drug releases time. Capsule.
I didn't know the drug. I didn't know there was drugs into that thing.
It's a new thing. Yeah, it's a new thing.
Oh, that's a new one. So,
there's also radiation.
Dr. Drew is messing with me right there with the drugs.
So here's
because I won't take my drugs.
Here's the thing. Yeah, here's what I want to know. Did you? And he's really insane, but I like it.
Yes, I am.
Did you?
Hey, who's really insane? I ain't got a nuclear weapon pointed at nobody.
Right. No, I don't want to.
Everybody should go crazy because sanity ain't what it's cracked up to be.
But it's easier to be insane when you're alive. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, indeed.
So here's my question then. Did you ever take the medication?
No.
Now, see, here's the thing I don't understand. If he would have given you some blood-thinning stuff or some medication, you took it and you said, look, I can't function.
Here's
what
I do. I do a baby bear every 3 days.
What's that?
Aspirin.
Oh, baby bear aspirin.
It's a blood thinner, not a whole one, because, you know, you keep doing that, you're burning the lining out your stomach.
You can't take a whole one a day?
It's not good for you.
Really? One a day?
You can get an ulcer, but they have coated baby aspirin, so, you know.
Just a little baby aspirin. It's enough to keep my blood thin enough where I'm not worried about that issue.
But aren't if you're in Eddie's position, aren't you supposed to take an aspirin a day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And Drew, just one aspirin a day is going to give a normal person an ulcer?
Well, I have a history of ulcers in my family. That's why I take that chance.
But they have coated now, so you don't
You need to sue your parents, Eddie.
No, I do
bad
not.
Bad genes.
Yeah.
Well, if it wasn't for my parents, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about how Eddie Griffin is in his next flick, so I will not sue them.
Well, that's true.
I am glad they got together and copulated.
Well, that's good. But we'd still be here, right? But if you weren't here, then we wouldn't be here to you. I mean, that's heavy.
Exactly. Y'all still be here, but I wouldn't.
Maybe we're gone as soon as you leave.
Oh, stop it.
It's getting heavy now. Wow. So,
perception.
Okay. But here's the thing. 90%
of the problem.
No, you know what I like? Eddie is he's crazy like a fox. He's obviously super bright and has a great motor in him. But the whole drug thing... I was thinking you were going to tell me you took the drugs, you felt lethargic, you couldn't get out of bed.
Now, here's the thing.
Does it do that to you, Drew, the blood thinning
stuff? I took the cholesterol meds. It made me feel like hell. I couldn't take them.
Well, there you go.
Ugh.
See, he's trying to tell me to take them, and you not taking them. Come on, Drew.
I bet your mom's been grinding.
I switched to something different.
Come on, Doc.
But
I switched to something different. Red wine.
Ooh.
It's got
you there.
A glass a day will keep the doctors away, but we like you, Doc.
Now, what should Eddie do if he isn't going to take the medication... And he's going to continue to smoke.
Smoking is the worst thing of all.
The aspirin is good.
Aspirin's
right?
good.
And red wine.
Mm. Well, you got to drink a lot of red wine, though.
Well, done it.
Well,
done.
Hey, I just got through with two bottles.
Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah.
Right.
And then what else? What do you mean a lot of red wine?
Because I mean,
there's an enzyme in red wine.
Yeah, the real effects. And people noticed that alcoholics didn't get heart disease. So they started studying what this could be.
So you get booze.
And so they started finding, but it's not in small amounts.
Okay. And then what else?
Amounts.
What else? Good diet? Is diet anything?
Yeah, fat and cholesterol.
Well, I got rid of the pork, number one.
You cut the pork.
Get rid of the pig.
Mm-hmm.
You are what you eat, and you put anything in the trough, that pig will eat it.
Okay, so no more pork.
No more pork. I mean, it's obviously, you know, going to constrict the arteries. It's full of salt, poison, and all kind of. All right. Went on a basically a fish diet, seafood, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a little more mercury in my system.
Right.
You know, with the pollution out there in the ocean right now. But it's better than having steroids from the cow.
It's not deep fried catfish, right?
Catfish is a bottom feeder.
That's right.
Do not eat bottom feeders.
Oh, you don't have to tell white
people that.
That
constitutes shrimp.
We don't eat catfish.
Well, I know. That's why y'all make lobster expensive and shrimp expensive. Get black people all twisted like, that's the good stuff.
That was the plan. We had a meeting many years ago.
All right.
We must F with the black man by raising the price of seafood
shrimp
and shellfish.
Yes.
Yeah, look, I'm not down with all that stuff where people are drinking oysters and licking stuff, you know, pier pylons and scrapings and stuff. I understand a nice steak, nice salmon fillet, a little Chilean sea bass, but all the weird stuff that drags along the bottom, that's the part I have difficulty with.
So I mean,
you eat well.
Exercise?
You don't
eat cereal? I exercise every day.
Ooh,
I was exercising before I had the heart attack.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my physical activity.
There, Adam. How dare you?
Right. Okay.
What it was is, you know, also, just look at it like I was saying before. You had 12 white writers, the show 5 years, as you said.
Oh.
Stress causes the liver to produce massive amounts of cholesterol.
Uh-oh, I think
because
I got
the body is trying to lubricate itself, thinking it's going to physical activity. Mm. When that activity doesn't take place, as Dr. Drew would tell you, good cholesterol becomes bad.
Ah.
And it starts to clog the arteries. That's what happened to me.
Wow,
I'm stressing and I'm never getting the shot off.
Now, what
about, it's round one and the other boxer's not there.
Right. Now, what about, like, the studio? Does the studio, there's insurance and stuff when you do these movies. Don't they want to know you're taking your medication or whatever?
No, they want to know I'm taking my medication. All they want to know is I did the treadmill test and the doctor said you got a body of an 18-year-old. Get out of here.
All right. So treadmill every 3 months. You don't miss that.
I don't miss that. If I feel a fluctuation in my heart, after having a heart attack and being dead for a minute and 10 seconds, rush to the hospital.
Do you remember what happened?
And I run. He's like, you're fine.
Do you remember what happened when you
were
dead?
Yeah, I remember when I was dead.
What happened?
I went into the light.
It's the day the laughter died, by the way, Drew. And then the laughter came back when Eddie came back 70 seconds later. Wow.
I went into the light.
Did you?
No, I could really see. No, this is true. Really went out-of-body experience. I seen myself laying on the gurney.
You were over yourself.
I seen the top of the hospital, the whole thing.
You're over the roof of the hospital.
They hit me with the jumper cables.
Paddles, crash cart.
Yeah, I call them jumper cables. You know, restart this car.
Right.
They hit me with the jumper cables, and I fell back into myself.
Wow.
And came up off the gurney.
Huh.
Drew, how do you explain that as
I
a man of science?
Not explain it.
And a man of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can explain it as a man of science myself.
Go ahead.
It's the electrical current in the human brain.
Uh-huh.
As it starts to fade, that's that feeling of elevation.
Ah.
That's that feeling of seeing the light because all thought is condensing into one space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Light.
Uh-huh.
It's a gravitative thought.
Well, let me
that
ask.
That last thought.
Let me ask this. You know,
it's my theory on it.
You know when you're working out real hard and you're really working and you really got your heart rate going and sometimes you close your eyes and you see spots?
That's different.
Or you see light.
That's actually your retina. That's actually you putting pressure on your retina.
No, I'm not talking about, you know, bearing down, but I'm just talking about almost getting a little lightheaded.
Well, that's, if you were to expand your masturbatory habits to include autoerotic asphyxiation.
Ah.
That's the white light thing. When you cut the blood supply off, there's a massive surge of catecholamines and endorphins.
Yeah.
And that gives
I believe
you
what he's saying is you have drained all oxygen out of the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood that is now racing to the cerebellum has no oxygen for the brain to function
Maybe
off
Maybe a little semen in it.
So you're feeling a little.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, if you ever.
And if you got semen in your bloodstream, I need to ask you whose house you've been over.
Well, whoever it was, it didn't pull out. That's not it. But the point is if you can jog all you want, never see this, but sprint super hard for the last half mile. Just sprint like a maniac, and you'll get that little light head or whatever it is.
Part of the runner. Yeah, it's complicated.
All right, just checking the scene. Well, we were going to take some phone calls, but Eddie's so animated. And
just do a lance, man. You know what I'm saying? When you get to that wall, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Focus overrides even the lack of oxygen.
Yeah, you got to become a missile and burst through it.
You just become a beast.
All right. Well, listen, Eddie, I'm happy to hear that you're going and getting on that treadmill four times a year.
What are you
going to
do if it comes out abnormal?
What?
The treadmill.
What am I going to do? Hmm. Well, I'm going to take my pack of cigarettes and burn all of them at once.
So as the and that's it?
I'm done. I'll have to quit smoking.
At the point at which the treadmill's abnormal.
Yeah, as soon as that, I'm not retarded.
Yeah.
You know, but as long as my stuff is normal, I mean, what's there to sit up here and panic about?
Yeah.
You know, everything is going to kill you eventually, whether it's coffee, cigarettes, hot dogs, beef, fish with mercury. Everybody's fighting tooth and nail over the eventuality of death. Nobody has been here forever.
Yeah.
Right. You know, even Jesus has to come back.
Yeah. I think Barbara Walters may have been the only one. She was old when I was born, and she still looks the same now. All right, let's take a little break. Eddie Griffin is here. The sage Eddie Griffin. Wow. Listen, kids, just turn up that radio and start listening tonight because there's things he could teach you. Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo is the name of the film. It is coming out the 12th of August. That is the Friday. Let's see. What the hell is
that? That's Friday.
That's a week from this Friday.
Yes? Indeed.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back with your calls after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Eddie Griffin is in studio tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo, out on August 12th, and we will now get to the phones, and I'm going to speak to Robert, who claims he was at my show today, but it's only because he's been on hold for 53 minutes, and I feel bad. Robert?
Don't feel bad. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, okay.
I want to give a shout-out. Both of you guys are awesome, Drew and Adam and Anderson, your unsung hero, dude. You're awesome.
You were at the taping of my TV show today?
I was. I made the comment about the dude was from Princeton, and I said that's a community college.
Yes, I saw the, I remember you vividly. Well, all right, Robert, you can say you're at the first taping of that show.
You know what? Can I give my honest criticisms?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Dude, awesome, awesome show. And I'm not just
however
smoke up your ass.
Here we go.
That's all right.
My only complaint with it, my biggest complaint with it, is Carson Daly.
Oh, well, he was just a guest. Oh,
come on, dude. You know, he's not how you want to pop your cherry on your show.
Yeah, it's a test show. I like Carson. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah, you were on his show like a couple of weeks back, and you were the only thing good on that show. That show was horrible.
He's gay.
Robert, you know what I'm going to need? I'm going to need you to ride in the backseat of my car and talk while I'm driving. Nobody makes a left-hand turn like you, Mr. Corolla. Not another driver on the road that knows how to work the turn indicator like you. They're all rank amateurs compared to you. God love you, Robert. Well, look.
I stayed up so late to watch that show, and it was a piece of crap.
All right, buddy. Now, listen. Carson's a great guy. He was kind enough to do a test show. You know, celebrities... Eddie Griffin's a big celebrity.
What was it? Pilot?
You don't. Yeah, I'm doing a talk show on Comedy Central. That's after the Daily Show.
Technical run through.
Oh, okay.
Well, you do the show, but you have to do two or three of them before you go to air, so you can figure out what the hell's going on.
Eddie Griffin would never do that.
Mr. Griffin would never do that.
No.
No.
He would be a guest on the show when we do the show.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to get a phone number for you. Leave
there immediately.
But thank you, Robert. I'm glad you. Showed up and cheered me on. Allie?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I'm really nervous.
All right, go ahead. That's all right.
I have never had sex because it's too painful. And I've also never worn a tampon, and I've passed out at gynecological exams.
You passed out during gynecological exams?
Yeah.
Do they tell you that there's something going on there, like a heavy hymen, a thick hymen or something?
The first one told me it was all my head, and she didn't seem to care. Mm-hmm. So, the one I'm at now, though, she put me on amitriptyline first. She's never told me what it's called. Like, she said it doesn't really have a name.
Mm-hmm. Amitriptyline? Oh, you've got vaginismus, probably.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. Does that mean you're abused? Thank you, Drew. Drew's fidgeting finally ends up in tragedy with my keys on the ground.
Well, what I'm trying to understand, you said you never had sex before, but it hurts.
She can't put a tampon in, can't get a pelvic exam.
Period. Mm-hmm. Hurts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I was on amitriptyline first, but it made me fall asleep while driving, so I had to get off that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that ever did anything or not. Then she put me on Neurontin, which didn't do anything except make me kind of dizzy. And then I was on Premarin cream, which also didn't do anything.
Good.
Now I'm in physical therapy, and they're doing, like, muscle massages.
Wow.
And they said I have really, really, really tight muscles.
Yeah. Mm.
And even my leg muscles are affecting it, but I don't know if that's my whole
that's,
problem.
By the way, if I became a physical therapist and you're like, yeah, we got the 89-year-old Jewish bra in there. She's got a bad hip, looking to put her in the water tank. This 21-year-old chick who's a virgin over here needs a vag massage. I got it.
So when you get the massage, do they try with the pinky?
Yeah. What do they start with?
They aren't inserting anything.
Oh, I see. How do they do a massage down there?
Gloves and fingers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it is fingers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And copious
well,
amounts.
At least they're safe with that hand. I got it gloved.
That doesn't freak you out a little bit?
It did at first, but...
Now you're starting to enjoy it?
They're helping me out, so...
Is
it helping?
Well, it is, but then it seems like there's just too much. Like, they got a lot of the muscles that were even on just, like, my abdomen and stuff that were really painful. But well, she keeps going deeper, and... Today I went in, and it just hurt too bad that I couldn't even let her, like, finish.
Sure
Allie, wait
like
a minute. What's
thing.
Going on?
Yeah.
What don't we know about your past?
Nothing, really.
Mm. You're not processing. Here is the deal.
Where's your dad?
At my house. Okay, well, I have kind of
story.
A weird family because my parents, we all live together. But they're still married, but they haven't been together.
Yeah.
That's called super poor, not weird.
Yeah. Well, she afford physical therapy and things.
Where's your uncle?
Yeah. Where's he at? Still in the basement?
It's like you're not processing information from your body normally. And a common way that happens is a physical or sexual abuse that's painful early in life, like under the age of 4.
Are you positive you never got sexually abused or molested anyway?
Unless I can't remember it. Then, yeah,
you wouldn't remember this because it's usually very early.
And what about your dad? How's he doing?
He's a good dad.
He's a good dad, and he still lives at home, even though he and your mom are divorced.
Well, they're still married, but they've just never been.
All right, they're so separate.
All right,
Well, let's suffice it to say, for some
they've
reason,
been together like physically.
Yeah, it's like you don't process information from your body normally.
There's a blockage.
And there are physical therapies for that. There are biofeedbacks for that, and that's about really all you can do.
Do you?
Unless you're going to go the psychological route.
The idea of sex does the idea of sex
freak you
turn
out?
You on or turn you off?
I want to.
You want to?
Okay.
Oh man. I feel sorry for the poor son of a bitch that opens that bag of Bobcats one day. Whew. All right, so Allie, you're going to college.
Do you masturbate? Have you ever had an orgasm?
What the hell? I did it earlier. Oh,
she has. You're looking at me. You have, Allie?
Yes.
Have you had a neurological workup? They've done MRI scans in your back and that sort of thing?
I don't think so.
Maybe that's the next plan. And I would move out of your house. What are you doing living with those nut jobs?
I'm poor, too.
I mean, your family must be really poor, right? Dad's still living there? No?
Okay, well, my mom's a writer, so she doesn't have, like, a normal income.
Yeah.
And like, my parents don't hate each other, but, they're not together.
What's your dad do?
He works at a power plant. He's a chemical engineer.
All right. Listen, Allie, you in school?
Yeah.
All right. You need to graduate and move out. And then and go get the work up.
Yeah,
something
she's,
going on.
She's doing. She's going about this the right way, though. It's systematic.
Who is what physical therapist?
Yeah, I know there are people that do sort of pelvic physical therapy now that retrain for incontinence, urinary incontinence, and stool incontinence. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I do it nightly.
Yeah,
that's a tough gig.
Yeah, I'd love to help you.
Yeah, but it's true as a vaginal therapist, you're dealing with people in their 80s normally. It's nice when something young fell off the tree and comes around instead of that rotted fruit you've been digging at. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah. Move to Amsterdam.
Kelly, are the chicks hot over there or do all hot chicks end up there?
No, the Dutch women are hot.
They're hot?
Yes.
And even the prostitutes are hot?
Yes.
And in a way, it's even cooler because, like, if you got some prostitute is American prostitute. She's like, you know, gold teeth,
criminal,
and spitting, and
these aren't criminals,
and they're not
criminals.
Criminal,
and plus over there, you know, they're getting a regular checkup. Otherwise, right. They can't show up at
the
work.
Government monitor,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, how much of Eddie's per diem went up one of those?
Not
vaginas?
A dime.
You use your own money?
Never have, never will.
Never been with a prostitute.
No, never will purchase. I was raised by 3 pimp uncles.
Oh, you had pimp
so,
uncles.
So, yes, it's not even
Drew,
in
Drew
my
too.
Vocabulary to purchase.
Drew had two pimp uncles. But
gift of gab. If I can't talk up on it, I don't need it.
Right.
It's against the code of ethics.
Yeah. So, you had 3 uncles that were pimps.
Yeah, most definitely.
And they were around you growing up.
Yes. My mother's brothers, yeah.
Your mother's brothers.
Yeah.
And your dad, well, he died of the heart attack mm-hmm. early. But he was around?
He was a fighter pilot in Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a story I'm going to tell my kids.
That's good.
Yeah. He was a fighter pilot in Vietnam.
He flew F-4 Phantoms and C-130 gunships.
F-4 Phantoms, the coolest plane ever made.
No.
Yeah.
The coolest plane ever made is the F-16 Fighting Falcon.
Well, that's a nice plane. It's a more modern plane.
F-100 GE turbofan with 25,000 pounds of thrust. Better than 1-to-1 thrust ratio.
Yeah. You know what I mean, sure?
No.
Plane weighs less than 25,000 pounds, but not fully loaded with ordnance and fuel. But let's keep moving here. The point is the F-4 Phantom, although an old plane, looks like a great white shark.
Wow.
This plane, it's got 2 engines, big inlets.
That leave a trail of smoke so that they can find you with a SAM from miles away.
Yeah.
And then the vertical stabilizer and the horizontal stabilizer.
Down at an angle.
At an angle. Why? Yeah. That's an excuse for a flawed design.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
See?
All right. I know. It's a nice plane.
You can't
plane.
Judge a book by its cover.
Well, the plane, they got to get like 25 years work out of that plane. It's a workhorse. And the dad flew an F-4 Phantom and in Vietnam, and he flew the gunship, the
C-130 gunship.
The one that just has a crazy Gatling guns and rock, the thing is just a cannon, 50
using
millimeters
right now
everywhere.
In Afghanistan and in Iraq.
That thing is, have you seen that thing, Drew?
Maybe.
That's another workhorse.
That baby.
Turboprop.
Yeah, it's a prop plane.
Huh.
And they take a regular prop plane, and the C-130 is this military moving plane. You know, I mean, it's for, you know, they load
just
tanks
huge,
up and stuff.
With the
it's got a big cut, and the wings aren't too swept.
No, it's not swept.
No, not swept.
And tanks roll out.
All back ends open up, yes. Tanks roll in, got some it. Troop transport, and all got that kind it. Of stuff. Well, they took one of those planes, and they just started putting, like, 20-millimeter cannons, 50-millimeter, 30-millimeter cannons, and Gatling guns, and shells. You know, I mean, think with like, howitzer cannons and stuff. They put them all over the ship.
Wow.
And what the thing does is just flies real low and real slow, and then this thing just lead just starts raining down on it. Well, you're in a tank.
And the
time
radius on
it,
they can sit there and circle one area
and just
light it up.
Just light up a target. Just spent uranium, Gatling gun stuff, you know, thousands of rounds a minute, just lighten it up. Mm. Wow. Yeah. All right, we're taking a break. I got to talk to Eddie about aircraft, military aircraft, and beyond. Eddie Griffin, the great Eddie Griffin.
yes.
The
yes,
knowledgeable
thank
one.
Thank you.
Eddie Griffin in studio tonight.
E equals MP squared times the speed of darkness.
That's right. Huh? We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Eddie Griffin is in tonight. Comedian, lover, military historian.
Lover of military history.
It was a shame to see him go. I've never met anyone who knew so much about airplanes. I've never met a black guy even knew about one airplane. Now, here's the thing. Once in a while, I get some uptight guy with a bad haircut who comes in there and goes, best aircraft ever made was a B-52. It's a workhorse. Been commissioned in 1951. They say it's going to be used until decommissioned in 1930. That jughead. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not good for anything but that, you know?
Yes.
Now, most people that have a sense of humor have every other sense drained from them. They've never heard of anything. They've never seen anything. And if it's made of metal and it's got an engine in it, they don't want to know. It's so refreshing to see a guy with a great sense of humor who knows his military hardware.
Do you fly little Mall aircraft by chance?
Yes, I do.
My brother.
Well, I won a science mathematics competition when I was in high school, and I took flight lessons out of KCI International Airport and flew Piper Cubs and Cessnas.
Wow. Do you fly still?
No.
You fly those model airplanes down in Van Nuys?
Most definitely.
Oh, you guys got to hang out.
I'm a junkie for planes. My father, like I said, he was a fighter pilot in Vietnam.
You guys
got to
hang out.
Yeah.
Adam has a whole bunch of those.
My father
mine are hooked up with rockets, you know, so I'd love to blow you out the sky. I get at your six.
Wait a minute. Rockets?
You got to hook the servos up, man, to the wings and go on and hit the button.
Really?
Gotcha. Yes. You ain't done it yet? You can hook the servos up.
Yeah,
and
they
got
I've
these plastic
it.
Bombs
yeah.
that you fill with flour.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can have your little drop zone.
Yeah, you
can
let them go.
And you let it go. Pa-ya, and you got your little poof of flour.
Yeah.
Like you blew something
what,
up.
What kind of models do you have?
Let's see. I have an F-4 Phantom, of course.
Wow.
I have an F-15. I have a Cessna.
F-4 Phantom's propeller driven? Or
no, that's ramjet.
Oh.
I'm joking. It's a jet.
It's a jet.
If it's a ramjet, then we're doing Mark 7.
It's not a ducted fan. It's a turbine?
It's a ducted fan.
Oh, ducted fan. Yeah. All right, that's not a jet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but that's still good.
Well, you know, in the model world, your ducted fan is your jet.
Well, that's your jet.
Because they're not going to actually give you a jet.
Oh, they have jets.
They do?
Oh, baby.
I have to watch.
Oh, your head's going to explode.
Model.
Get on that computer, Engineer Chris, and find a model jet.
Find a model
give him a nail
jet
plan.
That's not a ducted fan.
No, I'll tell you what. Go to Bob Violet. Go to Bob Violet.
Huh? Okay.
There you go. Kelly, during the break, we're going
to
have a
talk. Oh, I've had two calls so far. One was to tell you take a good...
Or rcmodel.com.
Right. Yeah. Kelly?
Yeah?
You're a lesbian...
horse trainer?
Masochist. All right. You're a lesbian masochist?
Yes.
What goes
you're
on?
Lesbian. Awesome. Tell us about it.
Well...
Yeah, that's what happens.
True, quiet.
I'm not like, you know, self-abusive. I don't cut myself or anything like that. Just within the realm of sexual activity, I enjoy pain. And my partner expressed, you know, I asked her to cut me the other night, and she expressed some concern and decided that I had a problem and advised that I seek help.
Drew.
And I wanted to...
Well, here's the deal. If you,
Drew, let me just chime in and say, I know you have kids. If one of them comes home and describes their boyfriend or girlfriend ever as a partner... That's when you got trouble.
That's when I bit on by
when
that
you
side
hear a partner,
capsule.
You chomp down on the side
right there.
Of
I don't
capsule.
Need to see anymore. That's it.
Yeah, boyfriend's fine, girlfriend's fine, wife, husband, whatever you want to call
but
it, even
partner,
bitch or hoe. But when you hear partner, there's trouble.
So you say you asked your partner to cut you?
Yeah.
Have
you
ever,
mean your hair or what?
No, my arm.
Your have arm. Have you ever done things like that before?
I've had other people cut me before. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're sort of going down a path that's a problem. And here's where your partner has a point, which is that when you start going down that path, you tend to need more and more arousal in order to get satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's sort of a compulsive path you head down.
You know, Hitler started with one country, then he wanted all of Europe.
That's what I'm saying. Hitler was exactly what I had in mind. And you
won't stop until someone puts a stamp
Caligula.
In you. Yeah. So,
that's right. And Caligula is really the model. And the fact is that something happened to you that sort of burned out some of your arousal centers, let's say. In order to feel arousal, you need high levels of stimulation.
Well.
And you'll see it more as you go along. So you sense your girlfriend has a point. It's kind of looking into this.
She's the sane one. What happened to you in the past?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
No. My parents are still together. They have a very healthy, happy relationship. My brother's normal. My sister's normal.
I know.
So, what we're trying to say is, at what point in your life did you say, hurt me?
Yeah.
It was actually one of my past girlfriends introduced me to pain during sex, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but pain, pinching, cause up. You're talking about drawing blood. It's a different thing.
Yeah, a rough trade is healthy. Yeah. It's a little ass tap and a little tug of the hair.
Yeah, you're talking about actually cutting, and now you're...
Cat of nine tails ain't going to hurt nobody.
That's right.
But a butcher knife.
Yes, right.
So, Kelly... We find it hard to believe that you're this much into this without any physical abuse in the past.
No.
A little bit. Bit of beating? Never. No one
See,
ever.
I think what you need is a little couch time.
yeah.
That's not a bad thing. You need to sit down and get psychoanalyzed. And because it's not a disease, anything, you know, the mind works like a muscle. And if your muscle's not working properly, you go to a physical therapist.
Right.
You need to go to a mental therapist and give them a little couch time.
Right.
And figure out why. Because, you know, pain and pleasure register in the same hemisphere of the human brain. So somewhere those signals are getting crossed in that hemisphere where your pleasure is coming from pain. And you need to find out where it's crossing and uncross it.
Right. Eddie Griffin.
Thank you very much.
Aviator. Entrepreneur.
Rock hunter.
Comedian. Where does it stop?
But Kelly, it just almost never happens that doesn't... It's not some antecedent trauma. Physical abuse, typically.
Yeah.
And that, you can't say never, but...
And listen, Kelly's very quick to point out, no, everything's fine. No family.
All the more reason to look into this to see where you're missing something.
Here's the thing.
Where you're not perceiving
everybody
it.
Who's doing some wacky ass when their family's fine, you're in worse shape. You know the people who claim they're not drunk? You go, wow, you sound horrible. Or,
no,
have you been
I'm not,
drinking?
No, and they go, no I'm not drunk.
And they're like, no, they're so busy fighting you. And you're like, listen, buddy, you better pray you're drunk. Because if you're drunk, at least you're going to sound different tomorrow.
All right.
If you're not drunk, this is you.
Yeah.
I would say I'm drunk. And if I was doing some really effed up stuff and someone said, look, did your family ever, instead of fighting them on it, I would give it some thought.
Yep.
Because otherwise, I come from the Cleavers. And I'm turning into using a cleaver.
Bad genes.
On myself with my lesbian partner. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
All right. Eddie Griffin, the great Eddie Griffin, Doolittle. Doolittle of black comedians, everybody. Jimmy Doolittle. Look it up, kids. A great American.
Yes, we like Mark Twain.
Well, I'll tell you what Doolittle did.
After the break.
Okay, all right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Eddie Griffin after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Comedian and kindred spirit, Eddie Griffin in studio tonight.
My brother.
I just forgot how fascinating Eddie was. I really did. And all you have to do is be into one crappy hobby that I'm into, and I label you fascinating.
Genius and fascinating.
genius and fad. You're in remote control airplanes. Fascinating. Genius. Everyone else makes fun of you. I label you a genius. A pioneer. An aviation pioneer. Yeah.
You call him the Doolittle.
One of the original Tuskegee Airmen over here.
The Wright Brothers.
That's right.
That's what we're going to call ourselves.
Yeah.
You and Adam?
Ooh. Yes, the Wright Brothers.
I see a show
I can just see us 6 months from now sitting in studios pitching a comedy about guys who fly model airplanes.
Yeah. Wacky comic.
Awesome. Yes, it's called Bottom Gun.
Awesome. Yeah. It's called, Ball Turret Gunner. That's a bad gig. All right. So, here's what Jimmy Doolittle did, everybody.
Of course.
All right. Why not? Why not learn the kids?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Come on. Hit me.
Here's what happened. The Japs, that's right, I call them Japs because that's what we used to call them back then.
All right.
They bombed our Pearl Harbor, and we were freaked out. I mean, the country was freaked out. You know, and it's weird when you look back at these events and time and you say to yourself, well, we always knew we were going to win. No, we didn't.
Oh, no. Mm.
Yeah. No, we didn't. We didn't have much of a fleet. It was all at the bottom of Pearl Harbor. Thank God we had some carriers out on patrol, saved a few of those. We had to snap into action. That was nowhere near one. And the reason Japan did it, they did their homework. They were smart. They figured we couldn't bounce back.
A day that'll live in infamy.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, they were wrong.
Well,
about
what
that.
They didn't count on was the American industry and
That's
ingenuity.
Right. That's right. They did not. And
the
what
industrial
happened was
might tore the little island up.
About 8 months into the war, we were getting nowhere. I mean, we're trying to get some islands, getting shot down, getting kicked around. We weren't making much progress in the first year of the war.
I know what you're getting ready to say. Now I remember Doolittle.
Yeah.
Doolittle's the one that said we're going to take a little ragtag fleet of planes, and we're going to bomb Tokyo.
Right. And we couldn't get near Tokyo because we didn't have any of those Philippine islands or anything.
He took some B-29s.
He took B-29s.
Retrofitted them to come off a carrier.
That's what he did. And nobody thought they could get one of those bombers, albeit
they didn't know until he did it.
Albeit a small bomber, get it off a carrier. They had to lighten them up. They took out the guns. And they put black mop handles and stuff in there. So it just looked like there was a gunner in the back. But it's trying to get weight off the thing. Then they did that thing, too, to twist a knife. They had just enough fuel to get in.
But not to get back.
Bomb Tokyo and land somewhere in China.
Yes.
Okay? But what happened? The fuel thing and everything was based on them getting within like 400 or 500 miles of the Japanese mainland before they took off. But they were spotted.
Ugh.
And like a Japanese fishing trawler saw them when they were about 700 miles out. And they were like, we don't know if the guy reported back and said we're here or not. So we're going for it. So now they don't got enough fuel to go out and get back or even ditch in China. But they take off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about heroes. These guys just fly into Japan and start bombing Japan. Now, they weren't going to do any real damage because it wasn't enough bombs and it wasn't big enough planes or anything. They're making a statement that we
psychological
bombs
damage
on Japanese soil. Mm-hmm. But as soon as these guys were done with their bombing, now they're out of gas and they got nowhere to go. So they just start spreading out and ditching. Some guys make it to China. Other guys just crash. Other guys get, you know, captured, and some are just killed on the spot. You know, 55 guys leave, and, you know, 21 guys come back. That's it. But Doolittle is a hero after this for leading this raid. He somehow ditched, and China made it back. But you want to talk about Huevos?
Yeah.
Back then.
Did it do any damage or anything?
It was
psychological damage.
It was all psychological. Yeah, well, I mean, they dropped a few bombs in Tokyo. You can't do that. You know, you want to bomb Tokyo, you got to get 100 of those stratofortresses and do it over 100 days with a, you know,
I mean, they messed up a couple of sushi bars.
Right.
It was enough for the Japanese people to say, okay, we can get reached.
Yeah, and it was enough for the American people to have something to cheer about.
Yeah.
All right.
And say, we can win this.
That's right. That's what we did. Mm-hmm. Am I right? You see that? What a country.
Yes, indeedy. Feed the needy.
Adam?
Yeah. All right. I got a Germany or Florida for you.
Germany or Florida. Eddie, here's how the game is played. He tells us the bizarre story, and we guess, did it come out of Germany or Florida? Because all bizarre stories emanate from either Germany or Florida. If it's sick, if it's twisted, if it's
if the vote ain't counted correctly,
Germany or Florida?
Yeah,
go ahead, Adam. Yeah.
All right, dude. And at the end of the song, I got another Germany or Florida song that I wrote that might be better than that other guy's. I don't know what you'll think.
Let's hear your
Germany or Florida theme song.
All right, here we go. The other song that guy wrote was simply put gay. We do it every once in a while, but not every day. At the end, you find yourself saying, "Duh." Try not to get stumped by Germany or Flora. Duh.
All right. You know what? It showed imagination. It had a little hiccup in the middle.
Yeah, I know.
But I believe if we put the right studio musicians behind you,
we'll be good.
From too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
See, we stopped playing that one because David Allen Greer writes me hate emails every time
Germany
we don't.
Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida. Germany or Florida.
Yeah. Well, he may be black and he may be a comedian, but I guarantee he doesn't know as much about aircraft as Eddie Griffin does. Oh, here's the swinging version.
Germany or Florida. Hey! Germany or Florida.
Big ending.
Let's
Eddie.
Find out. Blackout.
I love
that big ending part.
Blackout.
All right. So, Adam, go ahead and give us a story.
All right. A 45-year-old doctor took a 35-year-old nurse to his house. She was under the impression that they were to review lab test results from a cancer patient. When they pulled into the garage, the doctor grabbed, gagged, and tied the nurse to an old hospital bed in the garage. He injected massive amounts of anesthetic into the nurse's bloodstream, resulting in her death. He then performed a surgical procedure in which he removed the eyes, large and small intestine, and various fingers and toes. He then put them in individual mason jars and froze them to show his friends later. One of the friends reported him to the local police the next day, and the doctor was apprehended soon thereafter.
Mm.
Germany.
Feels like Germany to me, too.
That would be Florida because there were police.
Oh, well done.
In Germany, that would be the Gestapo, and he would already have a job doing that, testing people.
Oh. That's right. Interesting.
All right, but it was Nuremberg, Germany.
Yeah. See, that's why you have to play Germany or Florida. That's why they play the game.
All
right, anything that sounds like medical experimentation feels
good. Told you it was Germany.
See, the point is
Germany or Florida. It's Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
Now, there's a dead woman, but she was not stabbed with a rusty piece of rebar, so it had to be in Germany. The idea that there was medical precision involved
any
with the
precision,
homicide.
Yeah,
any precision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Germans are nuts, but in a precise way.
Most definitely. They created the jet engine.
Yes, they did.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. Oh, we went over there and picked that place clean after World War II.
Yes, we robbed a lot of great German mines to create the A-bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole,
and the Russians grabbed the rest of them.
Well, here's the problem with the Germans. They threw the Jews out, and the Jews knew the recipe to the A-bomb.
Yes, indeedy.
Smart. So you don't mess with them Jews.
Uh-huh. I have now become a killer of worlds.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jews, you know, my wife watches that, do you also want to be a Hilton show? Have you seen that damn show?
That's why she doesn't know who Doolittle is.
One of the disc jockeys here at K-Rock watches too, before we go on the air sometimes. And I thought, this woman, it's who she wants to pick to be. Any ethnicity, we'll have none of that.
Yeah.
She finally got rid of the Jewish girl last week. It's like, okay. What?
You mean,
what is this show about?
It's
about how so you want to be a wasp? Is that what the show's about? It's like,
well, is she intentionally cutting anyone of ethnicity or color?
Whether it's volitional, conscious, or otherwise, it looks awful.
Oh, really?
It just is abominable.
Everyone's just blonde and waspy?
Just the waspiest left behind. People with southern accents and people are like super waspy.
Well,
and,
I guess when you put your name behind it.
And everyone else has sort of ethnic qualities about them. She's like, oh, we can have none of that. We can have none of this.
Really? You know what I mean? So you think it's playing like it's racist?
It plays that profoundly that way.
Wow.
So I believe
it's more of a class system.
But, you know, that's what I thought it was going to be.
You know what I'm saying?
Too.
Yeah, but when you look at the source and there's no class at the source.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When your daughter Paris has done most of Europe. So and the continental United States.
Sure.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ought to look, because they apparently bring back the people that she has selected as not worthy of being held. And you look at people's interesting, you know, sort of.
Looks like a.
It's the United Colors of Benetton.
It's a Benetton. It's a very interesting group.
Yeah.
Who seem kind of, and they're very interesting, like substantial people. No. No, those won't do.
No,
well,
that's not a Hilton.
You know, maybe the problem is they put their name on it, and they're such a waspy family that you can't picture a Chinese chick being a Hilton. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure they should have gone down this path. If
all right. Well, I don't think the show, other than your wife watching, is doing gangbusters, is it?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'll never stay at one of their
hotels. Stop talking to your wife about what she watches on TV, Drew, please. Poisons your mind. Izzy?
Uh-huh.
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Speaking of Jewish brats, what's up, Izzy? No?
No, I'm not Jewish.
No, usually Izzy. Wow. Is that short for something?
Isabella.
Oh, and they just call you Izzy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's up?
Izzy's trying to wake up, Adam. Relax.
Sorry,
it's
baby.
It's 2 in the morning out there.
No. I'm just kind of really nervous.
Okay.
So I do film work. I'm in an art program, and I do film work, and I have a video camera. And I lent it to my dad a little while ago because he had to tape a presentation for work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then today, I was going through my videotapes trying to find one that I could tape over to work on a film I'm working on. And I found my dad's, and I was going through it, and then on the tape in the middle of his presentation, it looked like he taped over, and it was of the girl that lives across the street, and he was, like, taping through her window. And then I went through a few other tapes, and I found, like, one of her, like, outside washing her car. She's, like, in her bikini.
Oh, it's, like, novelty weird.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How old is this girl?
She's, like, 20.
Mm-hmm.
She's not much older than me.
How old is your dad?
Mm-hmm. Is she hot?
47, 48.
47? He's going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just being a voyeur, you know. Is not there... really a peeping Tom, you know. It's more of a watching dad.
Is mom around?
Yeah.
Your mom is still around.
Yeah, but I didn't know if I should talk to her or not, because, I mean, my dad and I are really close, and we get along really well. So
did
I don't
dad drink?
He used to. He's a recovered alcoholic.
I'm not sure. You got to check on his recovery.
See if he's drinking
this
again.
This is an alcoholic move, I got to tell you.
Well, if she's going to wash a car in her bikini and he's going to stand in for video camera, I mean, you got to turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to meetings still?
No. He hasn't gone to meetings in about 2 years.
It's time for him to go to some meetings. He got to get hooked back here in the
community.
Now,
do you think he's drinking again or he's starting to slide?
He is either drinking or he's about to. This is what that is. Because this is all the secretiveness, the clandestine quality, and the arousing nature of this. All that is alcoholic behavior. So,
okay. All right,
let's take it back to the program.
All right, but now,
tell
what's
your
easy
that you
to do?
Is he going to A, go to Alan on her Alateen? B, she can tell her dad, you know, question why, you know, he's let the program drift. It's not a priority in his life. She's worried about him. She wants him to do well.
All right.
She noticed him sort of the changing as he loses the priority
now,
of recovery.
Now,
as far as you know, has he always been faithful to your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was drinking?
Well, he believes that if she had left him, like, she left him for a few months when he was in recovery. Mm-hmm. And he believes that if she had left him and not come back to him, then he'd probably be dead, which none of us doubt, you know, because he kind of really went through the recovery because of me and my mom.
All right. Well, sometimes that's not a great reason to go through recovery. He's got to do it for himself a little bit.
All right. But listen, Izzy. Stop thinking so much about your mom and your dad and their relationship. Now, your dad didn't make amateur porn film or anything. He just, you know. He turned it on the neighbor.
He's just watching some young panties.
Guys, look, I got to tell you, you give a guy a video camera, it's like giving a criminal a gun. Just wait and see how long it takes before he uses it on someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys in video cameras, here's the point, Drew. What percentage of 18-year-old guys who have girlfriends, who they're having sex with, could you give a video camera to who wouldn't have the idea that I should film us having sex?
What percentage?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have that idea?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero.
Right. Zero.
Right. Now, if a guy hides it in the hamper and then puts it on the internet, that makes him a bad guy.
Yeah, but you gotta watch him.
It's hard to sort of indict a guy who does what. Now, he's not 18.
He's 47, he's married, he's got a 7-year-old daughter, and he's lax enough about it. Her tapes.
Now, that's where I blame
him. Life crisis.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you saw some
filling father time
hot,
creeping up
hot
on
neighbor them. Chick putting a coat of carnauba on the Celica, and you're looking at her through your window, and you're looking at the video camera on the foot of your bed, how long would it take for you to pick it up?
By the way, we don't see much of that midlife stuff anymore because most people get married in their 30s or late 20s, and they do their ass when they're in their 20s. They're not worried about
their
they're not. That's right.
You know. So you've been how long? Your parents been married?
No, I'm done with her.
Oh.
I don't want to talk to her anymore.
Talk about Jets again.
Yeah, I got things
tell
to show
you. Tell
you
about those Jets.
I got things to show you on the internet.
Me? Oh, Eddie.
Eddie,
yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to show you things going to blow your mind.
Hit me with the RC Jets.
You thought you knew, but you don't know.
Uh-oh. Look out.
This is going to be big. This will be a big day for you.
There's nothing like new knowledge.
And now that you got a couple of ducats to rub together from doing this Deuce Bigelow, too, you may be buying one of these Jets.
Yes, indeedy.
Evan?
Yes.
Drachma. What are they in Holland?
No, ducats. What are they?
I don't know.
Like guilders.
No, now.
Guilders, right?
No, it's the euro now.
Oh, it's euro.
Oh, now it's the euro, yeah. Evan?
Yes.
22.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Question for Dr. Drew. What's going on, Eddie? Loved you and the new guy. Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right.
My kids were huge Undercover Brother fans.
That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I try to understand what 12-year-old white kids. Thinking how they relate, they just think it's a funny thing they've ever told in their entire life.
70s, man, the afro.
Yeah.
Well, I can relate to it because we lived it.
Yeah. And what's her name was in that smoking hot enhanced her ass on the billboard.
Yes, they did.
Denise Richards.
Yes.
Nice. Go ahead, Evan.
Okay, I got a problem with my penis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's it curves downwards. I mean, it's like Gonzo's nose, basically.
Mm-hmm. Who's Gonzo?
SpongeBob? Okay, and,
oh.
And Gonzo. No, it's from Sesame Street.
Oh, Sesame. Yeah. Oh, that nose.
The little purple guy.
You mean Squidward's nose.
Squidward's nose, too, yeah.
And I kind of want to correct this. I mean, are there any, you know, exercises or, you know,
no.
can you see like a... Like, you know...
Has it always been like that?
Yeah, it's always been like this.
Okay. There's a couple things. One, that downward direction is basically the direction that a woman's vagina goes. And I've always suspected that that wouldn't necessarily be a disadvantage, the downward curve.
Yeah.
However, we have a plastic surgeon that comes in here and says, oh, no, women complain about pain with that.
Yeah.
So if you have pain with your partner, it is something you got to do something about.
I think they look bigger when they go that way.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's smoking hot. Evan, you smoke a lot of weed?
No, I don't.
No, that's just allergic laugh.
Oh, really?
That's atopic.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just have like a chronic like cough and stuff. That's all.
Right, you're atopic. You have asthma and stuffy nose.
That's what they call that, atopic?
Yeah, it's atopy.
Really?
Yeah. You got to differentiate that from the pot laugh.
If Eddie had that, he wouldn't take any medication.
No,
not at
it's
all.
The man's
not
stuff.
Not at all.
So,
man.
You can smoke pot though.
Trying to poison him.
But I'm just saying, maybe you need to jack upward.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you can sort of work things in that direction. Vitamin E, 800 units a day. Adam hates when I say this, but
it's fine.
Can improve. This is basically Peyronie's disease, and the only ultimate correction for this is surgery.
Mm.
And you'd have to see somebody that has experience in doing these procedures.
Yeah. Well, he's calling from Wisconsin, so I'm sure there's plenty of urologists who do plastic surgery in Wisconsin. It's the Badger State, for Christ's sake.
Well, let's give him the Durex condom pack.
All right. Evan, I'll tell you what. Hang on for a second there, buddy, because one lucky person tonight, and his name happens to be Evan, is going to win himself a Durex party pack. The party pack includes CDs. We figured out it was a Hoobastank and the Killers. Yeah. Here's the thing about Engineer Chris. He didn't talk into the microphone before he was leaving, and now he sure as hell ain't going to start talking into the microphone. Killers and Hoobastank.
Huh?
Also, we're going to give you money, and you're going to get a poker set.
Right on.
And you're getting some Durex condoms.
That's good.
And you must be 18 years or older to win.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Brought to you by Durex. There's sex, and then, Engineer Chris?
There's Durex.
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
The great Eddie Griffin is here tonight. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. Deuce Bigelow. European Gigolo,
yes,
coming out the 12th Friday. It's in wide release, I might add.
The premiere is in Las Vegas at the Palms Hotel.
Oh,
this Saturday
night. There. Wow,
yes.
That's going to be good for you, right?
Yes, indeedy, feed the needy.
Well, I'm going to put you on the internet. We're gonna do a little shopping, all right?
Durex.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Shit. Shopping.
Hey, everybody. Oh, wait a minute. I think, Eddie may have snuck in the S word.
No, I think I was out.
Yeah, you were close.
All right.
You were close. Eddie Griffin is here. Are we starting again? All right. Anderson. You know, I like Anderson because when a guest or a caller cusses, he takes it very personally.
No, when I say 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah. Yeah.
We heard go after the S word.
Right.
Yeah, about the same time. About the same time. Listen.
Where is he at?
Mr. Griffin is...
He's in that building.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Best news of the day for you.
Mr. Griffin's a raconteur, genius.
And not only that, but his creativity cannot be
bridled.
Confined.
Yes.
He's like a wild stallion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't bridle him and put him in a cage.
No. Why would
what
you
are you
want
talking
to?
About?
Why would you want to?
You wouldn't.
There's no saddle.
The majestic beauty of him running across the American frontier. That's Eddie Griffin, everybody.
Adam, he's coming on your show. Relax.
Okay, come on, buddy.
I'll beat it.
I need a guess. I need a guess. So far, I got a crow expert. I swear to God, it's all I got booked on my show is a crow expert.
How are you a crow expert?
Well, for number one thing you're an expert at is not getting light. Yeah. Crow expert comes second. Because you get laid, you ain't an expert in anything.
No.
You're an expert at getting laid.
A crow.
Guys that get some poontang early and often, they don't become experts at anything.
They're not really watching crows.
Yeah, and I oftentimes think that some people become experts in things that they know no one else is an expert in. So all you got to do is learn five things about it, and everyone leaves you alone. He's an expert. You know, there's nobody who knows more about crows than you do because there's no one who knows anything about crows.
Because nobody's interested in it.
If you're a doctor, you run into other doctors. They start calling you out.
Yes.
You're screwed. Now, whatever you do, I don't care if it's play the guitar, tell a joke, or be a physician, there's somebody who knows as much or more as you do, and they're willing to debate you on it.
Yes.
When you're a crow expert, everyone leaves you alone. You'll never find one at a party. You'll be the only crow expert
it's
at the party.
It's kind of like that jet engine on the model aircraft I just witnessed.
That's right. Internet. I get to bring it up at a party. No one can question me. Yeah. Jennifer.
Hello.
Eddie's interest is peaked. That is clear. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I just want to say I love your show, Strictly Sex.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Wow.
And what's up, Eddie?
What's going on, Jennifer?
I just have a question. This happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went to the doctor's and I got, tested and everything. And they told me that I had transmitted chlamydia, from my boyfriend. And I didn't, sleep around. And when he went to the doctor's, they said, he didn't have it or something.
Is there
any way that it could have,
Well, had you been with anyone before him?
I have, but it was always safe. And, I don't know why, he didn't have it.
All right, well, here's
how long can chlamydia hang out?
It can hang out for quite a while in women, and it can hang out and not be contagious. So it's possible you've been harboring it for a while and really never transmitted it to him. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that the test is wrong. Another possibility is that he had it, gave it to you, then it resolved in him somehow, or maybe it's some antibiotics or something for something else, and for you it kind of kept going.
Another possibility is he went and took his test and didn't tell you the real results.
That's another possibility. But the fact is the screening for chlamydia is actually, there's a fair amount of false positive in that, but the consequence of missing it is so great, meaning infertility, and the treatment is so easy. It's a single dose of azithromycin. That you might as well just suspect that's what it was. Both of you take it and just be done with it.
All right.
Yeah, we both took the medicine and everything for it, the antibiotics.
I would certainly keep my eyes open for the possibility that he cheated, but don't freak out about
it. Well, is he the kind of guy who would do that or not?
No, he actually accused me.
The first part of guilt is to point the finger in the opposite direction.
It's to blame.
Right. That's right. That's right. And whenever you point the finger, there's four pointing back. There's really three, and the thumb's sort of going off to the side.
Three. Plus, the other hand could be curved, too.
Well, if you were wearing, if you just had the other hand on your belt or something, it would probably be...
Eight fingers.
There's probably eight, and then the thumb. It's
thumbs.
Not technically a finger, but it's an opposable thumb. Is it a finger?
Yeah.
Digit, it is? Digit. It's a digit. Digit. Okay.
It needs to be.
The point is any time you point the finger, Jennifer, there's a minimum of three fingers pointing back at you with a possibility of, up to seven or eight. Okay.
Depending how you do the counting.
Depending on where your other hand is.
Plus, other people may actually be pointing back, too.
Oh, well, that's a good point, because they go, whenever you point a finger, there's three pointing at, but what if you have, four a-holes standing next to you, they're pointing at you, too? You got to count their fingers, right? But do you deduct the ones of theirs that are pointing back at them?
No.
Okay.
Count those.
All right. Here's the thing. I'm starting to think, they're guys... You'll know if your guy's cheating usually because he's a guy. 18-year-old guys cheat because they can. He's a guy who women...
A lot of guys are that way. Not even just 18-year-olds. No. Especially 18, 20-year-old guys.
Yes. If you're a guy who women like and you know women like you and you have any kind of freedom at all and any kind of game at all, you may be doing some cheating at 18. I'm trying to think of the 18-year-old guy who has chicks that are into him in general and just refuses to ever take any bait. Plus, 18-year-old chicks always have friends that are 17 or 18 that are looking to screw with them and get the guy.
That's true.
and then tell them about it. All right. Let's talk to...
Maybe your girlfriend had it.
That's primitive. Awesome, right? Jason?
Yeah.
29?
Yes.
What's up?
88 minutes on hold.
88 minutes on hold. God love you. I'd give you out that Durex party pack, but I already gave it to a caller with Peroni sisters.
Devin.
Go ahead, Jason.
Are you a Mormon?
Yes, I am.
All right. It was awesome. You didn't see Drew's lips move, did you? He's calling from Salt Lake. Go ahead.
Hey, I don't know if this is a what type of rash or what this is. It's kind of like a jock itch type of deal, except there's absolutely no there's no rash, there's no flaking, there's no discoloration, there's nothing. And sometimes it'll go a week, and I think, oh great, it's gone. But then it flares up as far as itching. You know, again, nothing visible, but it itches, and the more I itch it, the worse it makes it. So I'll leave it alone. And I'm just wondering, you know. I got some STD. Do I got, you know, what's going on there?
Have you went in and had it looked at by a physician?
No, not yet. I'm actually going tomorrow, and I thought, well, I'll call and get Dr. Drew's opinion because, you know, the expert man there. And
Is that a summer thing, you think?
It's not STD, that's for sure, because you'd see things if there were an STD there.
It's been going on for a year or two.
Yeah. Are you sort of obsessive-compulsive otherwise?
No.
I've seen this a couple times with people where they get this sort of scrotal itching and you can't ever find a reason for it. Sometimes it's actually prostate inflammation and other things
really?
In your urogenital tract that sort of cause some inflammation in that area.
Yeah, and but this isn't jock itch.
You'd see the red there. I think obviously that someone should treat him as though it were just to be sure.
Yeah.
Maybe give him some antifungal creams or pills. And then beyond that, really it might be about seeing a urologist. And then
maybe
if that's negative.
Maybe he's allergic to the soap.
Well, but you should see that typically. But be that as it may, it's something like Lotrizone cream, something like that would cover the allergies and the yeast and the funguses.
Should it keep it dry down there?
Keep it dry, obviously. But more often than not, this also is sort of an obsessive compulsive thing. They
Jason.
Start scratching, and that, of course, makes it itch.
What's up? You wash your hands a lot?
When they get dirty. I mean, I'm not scratching down there all the time. It's just every now and then, you know, a bit of an itch. I'll scratch down there, and I know if it'll make it itch more. And I, you know, again, I try to ignore it because it's like I don't want to inflame
it.
Or,
but you're not. What do you do for a living?
Electrical work.
Are you a Mormon?
Yeah.
Are you exposed to anything that could be causing allergies?
Not that I can think of.
Because I've heard about this with a lot of Mormons.
Yeah. What kind of electrical work do you do?
Mainly lighting.
All right.
That is very sensitive skin down there. It could be, you know, soaps you're using in the detergents or soap in the shower.
Maybe it's one of the spectrums in the colors, you know, that is bothering you. Maybe you're allergic to red.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're an electrician?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
I fell off. All right. What's the difference between Romex and BX?
Romex and BX? I'm still apprenticing. I'm 2 years into it. I got
that.
All right.
It's amazing.
All right. Just proving my point that no one knows anything.
That calls this show.
All right. Romex and EMT.
Okay. EMT, is that the one that's got the metal conduit around it already, the flexible metal conduit?
Well, no, that's BX.
That's BX.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay. So you doubled back, and you're right. It came into your mind. It was just 5 minutes.
So what Romex is.
Oh, he's got to know what Romex is. Jason, Romex?
What's that?
Romex, the wiring.
Romex, is that the plastic, like what's in houses?
Yeah.
Stuff?
There you go. That's resident. He does commercial work.
I see.
All right, the point is he knows his business.
Okay.
Even though he's almost 30. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Andrew, these guys are the guys coming to your house, you know?
Oh, fantastic.
Adam is a very well-versed and knowledgeable young man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am
impressed.
I'm no electrician, but I do know the building trade.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed.
Hang around as long as I do. Yeah. I come over and, you know, throw a remod on your kitchen, take a look around, kick the tires.
I want it just the way it is.
Yeah? You sure?
No remod. I'm good.
All right. Come on, buddy. Invite me over. I'll take a look around. You have any home improvement questions?
None at all.
You're good?
I'm good.
Now, see, you should be remodeling. You're just coming off a big movie, flush with success.
He's buying a jet.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Right. RC jet.
Ronnie?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yes.
12,000.
Ronnie's a hot name for a chick.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good name. What's up?
I get used for sex a lot, pretty much ever since I lost my virginity, and I'm 26 now. And so because of that, I've changed my approach with different guys, trying to figure out how to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I've done different things in dating, it happens to me anyway. And so,
why don't we define our terms here? What does that mean to be used for sex?
Either the guy dumps me right after we have sex, or the whole focus of the relationship will shift to the sex.
Like, well, then you don't want to have a relationship with a male then, I guess.
Yeah, because they all shift. As a matter of fact, it never was shifted to the other side. We just pretended it was that way so we could shift to the sex. You act like we shifted the sex. We never left the sex. Yeah. Uh-oh. You multi-orgasmic, Ronnie?
Sometimes.
How quick do the panties come down? Is this the first night?
That's the thing. It depends. I've done the first night thing.
No, depends. The diapers for old people.
But I've also done the after a while thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. No matter what I do, it always ends the same way.
Yeah, but you're running with the wrong guys. Let me explain something, Ronnie. I had to give the ladies a speech last week, or maybe it was this week. I don't know what day it is. The point is you guys complain because every guy you're with just wants one thing. These are all Casanovas. They talk you out of your underpants, and then they love you and leave you. There are plenty of guys out there who'd be more than happy to hang in and hang out, but you ain't interested in that guy. Why? He's not exciting.
Mm.
That's a steady, boring guy. He's not fast. He's not dangerous. He doesn't have a rap, and you ain't attracted to him. So how are you going to find a guy you're attracted to who's also not some Lothario who just comes in and gets your panties off? That guy don't exist because there's a mathematical problem here. You understand? The guy you ain't attracted to, that's the guy who's going to hang out and father your kids.
And 1 + 1 = 3.
It's not that those guys don't exist. There's millions of
them.
You're not attracted to them.
In the hood, we call it thug love.
That's right.
You know, they're into the thug. He's dangerous. You know, you like the danger of the guy.
Is that true, Ronnie?
No, I'll admit when I was younger, I would fall for that a lot. But now I go for more down-to-earth guys, I would say. And they still try. Like, they still try to get away with as much sex as they can.
Okay,
you know?
How...
That's all guys.
How down-to-earth is this guy? Is he acting down to earth?
That's what he's doing.
Because you're coming from a point of, you know, chasing this one particular kind of thug guy. Then you're saying you're going after the down to earth guy. But obviously, this guy is playing down to earth.
I agree with Eddie. Because
so
if you
get right back in the pants.
If you're super attracted, he has to be the bad guy.
That's right.
Because you're attracted to him.
You would be attracted to true down to earth guy. And, right.
by the way. Subconsciously, I know that he's really not down to earth.
It's not even subconsciously. You're attracted to abusive, unavailable, high risk guys.
Yes.
And if you want to find somebody that's going to be more available for a relationship, it has to be not quite so attractive to you.
Right.
Go to a guy that you're attracted
and
but not super attractive
don't
to.
Don't even use the term down to earth because all down to earth suggests is a guy who looks good, has a good rap, and has got a nice set of wheels, but he's really down to earth.
Yeah,
guys who work at Circle K's and drive mopeds, no one describes as down to earth. They're lying on the ground.
Right.
They don't have to be grounded. They're planted in it. You know what I mean? But when you take, now that's what you do. It's like
the high flying guy.
He's a millionaire. He's a celebrity. He's a playboy. He's really down to earth. That's BS. A millionaire. He's a celebrity. He's a playboy.
Yeah. That's who knows how to rap.
Who knows how to make you think he's down to earth.
Yeah. Go after Bill Gates.
Just again, not super attractive because your radar is kind of bent.
Yes.
And so the stuff you're super attracted to is going to be the dangerous stuff. I'm not telling you to settle. I'm just saying learn to read your attractive
Everybody
patterns.
Learn not to trust themselves.
Well, if you have the patterns like Ronnie does, and you're unhappy with
everybody in our, you know, our society is all built around talking people into trusting themselves. Yeah. Well, if you made a bunch of F-up decisions, you've got a couple of divorces, you've had some run-ins at work, you've had a bad life, do not trust yourself.
Right.
Trust the smart people that are telling you what to do.
Not only that,
you trust yourself has gotten you into this asshole.
I bet even the Ronnies of the world and the people that shouldn't trust themselves will have a little voice, a little instinct in them that is
clear,
that when they listen to it is really really there and telling them what's
that little voice is how they know they're turned on.
Well, she just said that she knows deep inside that, you know, the guy's no good.
Right.
Right.
So just listen to that little voice and turn the volume up on it.
There you go.
Or make it a bigger voice. Eddie Griffin is in studio tonight. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, out in theaters on Friday the 12th. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Please hold.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Rob Schneider in here tomorrow night. Pennywise in here on Thursday night. The great Eddie Griffin, the genius.
And can I say, Rob is ridiculously funny. Y'all gonna have fun tomorrow.
Oh, we know Rob.
Rob. We're dear.
Rob lives two blocks from my kids go to school.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. Genius. Lover, philanthropist, Rob Schneider in tomorrow night.
Eddie Griffin. He'll appreciate Jets too. No.
In tonight. Nah.
Not the way Eddie Griffin.
Not a chance.
Nah.
Not a chance. Dad was a fighter pilot.
Yes.
Yeah.
United States Air Force. Yes.
Flew F-4 Phantoms and the gunships.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Vanessa?
Yes.
26?
Yes.
You work with sex offenders?
I work with juvenile sex offenders.
All right.
And we were having a group therapy session, actually working in the group home aspect. And there was one kid who was off to the side, sitting in the kitchen kind of where only I could see him. Mm-hmm. And he flashed his erect penis to me.
Erect, yeah.
It was awful. It was really horrible. And
sounds like my son.
Hold on a second there, sweetie. If you're going to work with sex offenders, you're going to see a little wang every once in a while.
But not only that, that's not on the awful spectrum of what sex offenders do.
Nah.
Right. If that's all they did,
the kid is on
utopia.
The kids you work with, are they on the receiving side of being sex offended, or are these kids that are sexually abusing other children?
They're not victims. They're offenders, right?
Okay, well, most of them are victims also, but they start as victims
and they become offenders.
So, yeah, like Adam said, you're going to see some wang.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, mostly I'm desensitized to all this by now. I've been there a year, but I've never seen one before. I mean, I've heard it all, but I've never seen that.
And first time of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, right. Every time I try to have any kind of sexual thought or anything, mm-hmm. like his face, it pops in my head, and more than his face.
Why do you think you chose to work with sex offenders?
Oh, well, that would probably be a really long story, but
yeah, that involves abuse.
Yeah, involves your own
traded on you.
No, I've never been abused. But basically, I mean, the simple answer would be I'm really interested in psychology. It's a good way to get my foot in the door. The job was available. I have you know, benefits, and it's a pretty awesome job, actually.
Do you care about the children you work with, or is it just a way to get to psychology?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I very much care about the kids a lot.
Well, how old was this kid?
16.
16. And did you guys take any disciplinary action?
Oh, well, he gets placed on a certain type of status where he's not trusted at all. He has to stay within 6 feet of a staff for a couple of months, and then he can go back to regular, you know.
That's good. Do you do your own therapy?
Yeah, actually, I do. We have really, really extensive therapy. We go into all everything, family dynamics, power and control, everything.
So what do you, first off, Vanessa, I don't mean to be insensitive, but you're going to have to shake this one off.
Well, probably. That's the whole point. Why are you having a post-traumatic stress reaction to something that, you know, you've been working around, you understand it's part of the deal, it's what these people are doing. You know, it wasn't like you were held powerless.
It's like a butcher saying he saw a dead cow and he was traumatized.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, I'm not, like, hurt and I'm not scared or anything. It's just I can't get at the image. It's not like I'm,
that's
the same thing.
You're becoming obsessive.
It's a child penis. It's a 16-year-old young penis. He has a problem. He whipped it out. You've seen it. Get over it. You got to work with these. Is this the job you chose?
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to work with these children. Otherwise, quit that job and go into a different kind of psychology.
Are you sexually active?
Yeah.
With
you are.
Men?
What, am I? Yeah, I'm sexually active.
With men?
Yeah, yeah.
And, right. and seeing men naked and all that doesn't screw you up at all? It's never been a problem?
Actually, quite the opposite. I actually consider myself a sex addict.
All right, Vanessa, look.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Maybe you got a thing for the little 16-year-old Wang you saw.
No.
And you feeling like I might get busted for being the next school teacher that took little Timmy.
The recipe for sexual addiction is childhood sexual abuse. So,
you're telling me
what happened to you?
I've thought about calling a lot because of this, but because of my job, I've thought about my past a whole time, and it seems like I have had something done to me because of, like, I can never be faithful to a boyfriend.
Business of having a post-traumatic stress reaction to seeing a penis,
yeah,
that means you had some antecedent trauma that gets re-triggered by this experience.
Yes.
So you can count on there something happened.
Vanessa,
you
know, sounds like something's going on.
I've talked about this with my coworkers all the time, and, like, it seems like I have, but I've asked my parents. I mean, I had a really good childhood. My dad was an alcoholic, but I mean, whose wasn't? I mean,
mine wasn't.
Mine wasn't. Eddie's was quite a pilot.
Yeah.
He had a punch out over Nan Cook in 69.
Again, that kind of thinking is what I'm concerned about. It's like,
commandeered a half track.
Everyone's dad is an alcoholic. Everyone was sexually abused. So I put that aside.
Early
in the war.
You know, that's the fact is you may have something you put aside you haven't really thought of in a long time. And all the evidence suggests something has happened.
Yeah.
And you just do your therapy. Just keep going.
All right. Let's talk to Stephen. That's a question for Eddie. Stephen?
Hey, so Adam, the other thing that you need to do with your show is get that bald-headed dude, the big pussy. You got to get a different warm-up guy, man.
Oh, you're talking about Don Barris?
Oh, boy.
All right. Is this the same guy I just called?
Evidently. Yeah, this is me.
Wow, you got a motor in you, buddy.
Yeah, man, you cut me off before I got
the
finish.
From the comedy store.
All right, go ahead, quick, guys. Right. A minute and a half.
Here we go.
Go.
Well, it's really cold in there. You know, you got to warm it up a little bit inside the audience because everybody's freezing.
Minute and a half, Stephen. Minute and a half.
Stephen, do you have another question?
That's not it. Just those three notes, but you cut me off.
I didn't wait for him to tell me to adjust the thermostat in the studio and to get rid of the audience.
You
warm-up
have awful
guy.
Instincts having hung up on him, Adam.
Yeah,
you really
I know.
Missed out on some very clever and key bits of
it's
direction.
It's going to come back to haunt you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Literally.
All right. Let's take a break.
Let's do it. That's a great idea.
Eddie Griffin in studio will be right back to wrap up and wrap down after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Show everyone. I want to thank Eddie Griffin for coming here tonight, being such a sport.
I want to thank you guys for having me.
Very incredible schedule look forward to. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, out on the 12th. That's right. Friday, the 12th of August, everybody. Rob Schneider in here tomorrow night. Pennywise, Thursday night. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.